Well, Happy New Year, everyone. It's good to see you here. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to two places with me this morning. The first one is in Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 18 through chapter 4 and verse 1. And the other place I'm going to ask you to turn is to Proverbs chapter 2. Last week, we talked about putting God's truths into action from our Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to continue on with that same theme this week. If you'd follow along with me in our first reading, it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. Fear the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, the first eight verses of Proverbs chapter 2. My children, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. May the Lord be praised through the proclamation of his word. Brothers and sisters, I do want to continue with the idea of how do we put these truths into action. And in particular, today, I'm going to be looking at the idea of children and fathers that is being brought up. But this is always going to be in context of what we started chapter 3 with, and I'm going to read that again intentionally. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, this is the context of the issues regarding husbands and wives, children, parents, slaves, all of these issues all pivot off of these truths that we start with. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul encourages all of us to seek the things above. As the proverb I just read had said, when you seek after the wisdom of God, God is the one who's guarding you and he's guarding your life. And it's not just your physical life. When we seek after the God who's sitting on his throne in the heavenlies, what we are doing is we're putting on the new spiritual clothing. We're putting on the new spiritual character, which the Apostle Paul has been speaking about. Would you glance with me at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12? This verse tells us that as believers, we do have a responsibility. I repeat it again because it is eminently important for us to comprehend this. Notice what it says in verse 12, put on. May I say it this way? That is not a suggestion. Then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, we are to put on the compassionate hearts, the kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We've looked at these before, but we have to keep going back to this to reiterate it. As I was looking at it this week again, I kept saying, you know, I know that. I know that. And I kept thinking of each and every one of you, and I said, well, they know that. And as I was working through the message, I kept thinking, but it's not wrong to reinforce it, to encourage you to know that this is part of your clothing. This is part of your holy character. This is the law of Christ. All right? This is the law. We're not under the Mosaic law. That had its place. It had its time. It was fulfilled by Christ. And Christ has put a new law, the law of Christ, into effect. And he calls it a compassionate heart, where we are sympathetic. It's being, where it says kind towards one another, that's showing concern for people. Being, and it talks about humility, not being overbearing. Meekness, meaning that you are gentle and you're not a bully. And being patient, that means that you are taking long suffering while you're going through some difficult times. Well, all of this I'm going to bring out on this side now towards those who are young people. And that doesn't mean you who have gray hair can go to sleep this morning. What I'm going to ask you to do is look with me at verses 20 and 21 of Colossians chapter 3. It says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Notice with me that the Apostle Paul says to young people, obey your parents. And the reason the Apostle Paul gives us this command to obey our parents is not to please our parents. Did you notice that in the verse? It was not to please your parents. But Paul's reason was that you would be pleasing to the Lord. It's not your parents. You listen to your parents because you want to be pleasing to the Lord. This assumes that you're a believer and you want to live your life for the Lord and not for yourself. The word which the Apostle Paul chooses for listening to your parents, the word obey. And by the way, there are several words in the Greek language which refer to obeying. But he chose this word, which means hearken submissively. It's hupakouo, H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O. And it's used here in this verse 20, and it's also used in verse 22 regarding to slaves. We'll get to the issues on slaves in the weeks to come, but the point being here is that you are listening submissively. You are hearkening. You're taking in what the reason your parent has said to do something. Now, this word is also used in regards to Abraham, the patriarch. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 8. Listen how it's used in regards to Abraham, and this is in regards now to you as an adult and to you as a youth or a young adult. By faith, Abraham obeyed. He hearkened submissively when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out. He obeyed, not knowing where he's going. The point being, sometimes we are directed by our parents to do something which we may not understand or may not want to do for multiple personal reasons, like simply, I don't want to do it right now. And in the same way, Abraham was to obey the Lord. At that time, Abraham left his job, which meant security for him. He left family members, which means he was leaving loved ones behind. And as he was directed by the Lord, he simply listened to the voice of God. So as a youth, we need to listen to our parents in the same way. We hearken or listen, and we do what they have directed to us. As young people, the Lord has ordained that your parents are supposed to watch out over you. They are supposed to support you. How is this to be done? This is to be done physically, with food, clothing, and a roof over your head. Mentally, they are supposed, they're responsible to educate you with the math and the sciences and reading. And spiritually, by introducing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. They also take care of us emotionally to help us navigate the many different feelings that we are learning and trying to live through in our lives. And since you are old enough to understand what I'm talking about, you are also old enough to obey what the Lord has directed you to do in your spiritual life. Now, as I had mentioned last week, obedience is not without guidelines. I mentioned that the ladies were to be listening to their husbands. But if the husband says something that is sinful, the wife does not have to listen to the husband if he is saying something sinful. The law of Christ is higher than your husband. Well, in the same way, children, you have a similar responsibility. You are to listen to your parents, and they're leading you and guiding you and helping you as you are growing up and maturing, becoming an adult. But in the same way, you have the law of Christ that you must live by yourself. That means you have to be reading the Word and knowing it, so that you know when your parent is actually asking you to do something that is sinful. I'm going to make a comment, and it has to do with 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. And I had asked someone to read this morning, but I'm going to pause here and bring it to your attention again. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. This is one biblical example that all of us are to watch out for. And this includes even you young people and you young adults. Verse 1 says, you should also know this. And he's talking to Timothy. Now, this is Paul is an older gentleman, and Timothy is probably in his late 20s or early 30s by this time. That in the last days, there will be difficult times. What did he mean by difficult times? Timothy was going to have to make some tough decisions. Each and every day, you are going to have to make some tough decisions between doing what is right and what you will consider what is questionable. And the peer pressure or the situational pressure will be great. I know I have personally experienced it in my 40 years of being a believer, and it is not always easy in knowing how to navigate the Christian life and applying the truths to circumstances that come up. And so these are things we should be looking for. These are heads up that you and I need to look for. Notice with me what it says in verse 2. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. For people will love only themselves and their money. So these are heads up that you should be watching for as people are talking. You're in a cafeteria and you're in a workplace. You're hearing, oh, yeah, yeah, what can I do, blah, blah, blah. You're hearing this, that they're all about loving themselves, how great I am, and they have a love for money, what they're trying to accomplish with it. Also, listen here on verse 2. It says, they will be boastful and proud. They will even be scoffing at God. They will be disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful. That's towards parents and also to people maybe they're working for. They will consider nothing sacred. In verse 3, they will be unloving and unforgiving. You'll see this in their character. And I know this to be true. Even though you may be younger or a young adult, you seem to be able to pick these out from our parents really quick. And things aren't going right for us adults. But they'll be unforgiving and unloving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. This will be part of their character, the way they talk, the way they act. Verse 4, they will betray their friends. They'll be reckless. They'll be puffed up with pride. They'll have a love for pleasure rather than for God. And verse 5, I personally like this one. They will act as if they are religious. The New American Standard, if you're reading that, says holding to a form of godliness. I like the idea here, the English Standard Version says they will act as if they are religious. Well, I go to church, but the minute they walk out the door, you know by their conduct and their character and their vocabulary that something is not quite right. And they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like these. As in, don't follow their teachings, don't follow their examples, because it is a deception. It doesn't mean that if you're working in a place that you don't sit and have lunch with them. No, but what it means is that you don't follow their teaching and you don't follow their lead and their bad character, because it's not Christ-like. That sounds like a lot about this generation today. People acting like they are religious. And that's what Paul mentioned in Colossians 3:23. They called it self-made religion. It's what they thought was the right thing. But when it comes to obeying the law of Christ, well, they'll say things like this, quote, I just don't see it that way. Or, I can't mean that, because that would mean that it doesn't fit my lifestyle or my plans. And of course, God wouldn't hamstring me by doing something like that. I don't know about you guys, that's the one I used to hear when I was working at Kodak, when we were in the break room. Well, man, why would I want to do that? You realize what that would change my life? Yeah, it would change it for the good. Well, behind all of these emotions and feelings and thoughts, the restrictions which seems to be put on your life as a young person, the Apostle Paul says this, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. What is pleasing to the Lord? The restrictions that your parents put on you? No, it's your obedience to the law of Christ, because Jesus Christ has saved your eternal soul, and you owe your eternal life to Him. That's what pleases Him. That's the pleasing point. Now, a godly man and woman, and I include children and young adults, we are all admonished to be clothed in spiritual clothing. What is the clothing? We've gone over this before, but I want to repeat it so that we will have no excuse before the throne of grace. We are to have a compassionate heart. It means being sympathetic towards others. That means being sympathetic towards your parents, so you are able to show your parents that you understand what's going on. You're supposed to be kind or concerned, so you're able to show kindness or concern regarding the needs in your home towards mom and dad. Humility, that means that you're not overbearing, that you're not throwing your little temper tantrums. We may think of it as not being hard to live with a brother or sister, where they are finicky or prickly towards a brother or sister. How about being meek? That's not being a bully, not throwing your weight around with your siblings, intimidating them, and covertly pressuring them to do things and change the way they are acting. We have all been children. We have all grown up in a household, and we have all seen these things happen. We should be patient, and we should be kind. But the problem is we are too self-centered. We think that it has to pivot around us. So we get angry, and our wrath starts to show, and we get prickly, and we start to shove and throw our elbows. When we exhibit these godly attitudes, it is not always easy. But God is the one we're trying to please. This is the time when we should stop and think and ask ourselves, is this pleasing to the Lord? Of course, we don't want to stop and think and ask that. The reason is that means I have to change. That means I have to employ these biblical truths and put on this new clothing. And this is not always easy. Well, Paul didn't stop there. He went on and talked about dads in verse 21. And if you'll follow along with me, in verse 21 it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." The Greek word which Paul uses here for fathers is patreres, P-A-T-E-R-E-S. And this Greek word means parents. It's mom and dad. And it refers to both parents. And even though it says fathers, we translate it into English saying fathers or dads. I'll give you an example where this word is. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in particular verse 23, where it is talking about something with Moses. And listen how the passage says it, and it uses the word parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his patrias, same exact word, parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The point being is it isn't just parents here or a father, it's both parents can do things that provoke their children. As Christian parents, we are required to provide biblical moral guidance, teaching them all that is needed for life and godliness. This already assumes that you are taking care of their physical needs, their educational needs, and their emotional needs. But as 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8 gives us an insight, this happens to be for us as adults and also for those who are the youth. In verse 7 of 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths." That's the arguing and debating over things. And so it says, "Rather, train yourself for godliness." That's all of us. That's mom and dads. That's each one of the children. You're supposed to be training yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, that's staying in shape, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, and it also holds promise for the life to come. So while we are spiritually training our children to become adults, that does not give us the privilege to embitter them or provoke or exasperate them, meaning not pushing them past the point of unwarranted strictness in the exercise of discipline or discipleship. We as adults should know where that line should be, where we are pushing our children beyond the point of their maturity. Yes, firmness is necessary, but it should always be tempered with purity of motive and a loving spirit for the child, lest they become discouraged. The New American Standard says, lose heart. As we have been looking at the desired attributes of all believers, we as parents have a need to employ them in our training of our children. That is to have a compassionate heart, to show kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. I have a quote from something that from a guy named Sam Storms. And Sam Storms says this about training a child in the way that he should go. Quote, "This is crucial. An over-obsessive and an exacting posture in parenting leads to emotional, and spiritual irritation in a child. An influx of judgmental and demanding temperaments creates despondency in a child's heart. Faced daily with the harshness, children often simply give up, convinced that nothing they ever do will be quite right or good enough to please their parents. When it comes to motivating your children, the threat of punishment was often necessary, is less successful than the promise of a reward, unquote. There was a Reverend John Eadies back in 1876. He observed this in his church in England. If children never please their father or mother, if they are treated and irritated by perpetual censure, criticism, disapproval, fault, and reprimand, if they are kept apart by uniform, it's the word strictness, if they are kept apart by strictness and sternness, if other children around them are continually held up as immeasurable their superiors, if their best efforts can only moderate the parents' frown, but never greeted with a parental smile of approval, then their spirit is broken and they are discouraged. I will add my comment to these things. One of the worst things we as parents can do to our children is continually talk about how wonderful and competent and successful and smart the other kids are without being complimentary of our own children. If we are quick to give accolades to other children, they can easily become disheartened, discouraged, because they may come to think that they can never live up to your expectations. Parenting is undoubtedly the most difficult behavior or endeavor we can all face. None of us who have children have ever received a manual with that child. But what we do have is the Word of God, and we are given the law of Christ to pass on to our children. We are required to teach them with the same care to which the Lord taught us. We all desire to be accepted and loved. We desire to be accepted by the Lord. We desire to be accepted by our parents. We are desire to be accepted by other believers, and we desire to be accepted by others in the church. And that is what all of us are looking for. We all desire to be loved and accepted by those around us. And that is why we are admonished to clothe ourselves with these traits, to put on compassionate hearts, so that we would be sympathetic towards others, that we would be kind or compassionate concerning others, that we would show humility and not be overbearing, that we would have meekness and gentleness, as in not being a bully, being patient and enduring and long-suffering. If we do not put on these clothing, or this spiritual clothing of compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, what will be? We will have anger, wrath, malice, slander. You will start to hear obscene talk, and it will start to ooze out of our mouths, and we'll see it in our attitudes. We must put on the new spiritual self that the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us into His truth. And He, the Holy Spirit, does this by setting our minds on the things above, such as these wonderful attributes that we as parents are supposed to be passing on to you younger people. I do know in some households it is not easy. In my own personal life, my dad was a loaded cannon, and he was not tied down on the deck of the ship that was rolling. And for a man that was 6'5" and 325 pounds, he could fill a doorway. And you were not getting out. I understand that for some of you who are younger, that it is not always easy, and you feel like you're trapped, and you feel like there is no way out. And so what you do is you shut down, and you pretend you're not there. You're trying to find a way out. And the sad part is that really speaks more about your parents than you. But what we still need to do is still apply the biblical truths of setting your mind on things above. That's where you will find your answer. Where you will find the love of God. You will find other people who love the Lord, and they will share that with you, and that they will care for you, and they will want to take care of you. They will show a compassionate heart. They will show kindness. They will show humility, and they will show meekness. And they will be patient with you as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the one whom loves you more than you can ever imagine. On the back of the bulletin, I felt this psalm was quite appropriate for today. Psalm 43, 1 through 5 says this, O God, take up my cause. That's love me. O God, take up my cause. Love me. Defend me against those ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. As in, you're going through a difficult time. For you are my God, my only safe haven. That's where you find your comfort. That's where you find your peace of mind, peace of heart. Why have you tossed me aside? You're feeling not loved. You're going through a difficult time. Why must I wander around in darkness, oppressed by the enemies? You don't understand the situation that you're in. Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. You and I are just supposed to seek the Word of God. That is what will give you the understanding while you're going through the difficult time. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. That is a place where you will find comfort and joy and peace of mind and heart and conscience. You will be comforted when you're in the Word of God and spending time in prayer and in the Word. He will lead you and guide you there. There, I will go to the altar of God. He's talking about worship. You are worshiping God. To God, the source of all my joy. Yes, because God loves you, and you know it because you're having a personal and an intimate relationship with Him. I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. God puts a song in your heart. Even though there is a storm going on around you, within your mind and within your heart, when you are spending time with the Lord, you will have a song in your heart. Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? Well, maybe it's because you're not seeking after the Lord and not spending time with Him. I will put my hope in the Lord. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. And as Colossians 3:3 says, because I have put my life and hidden my life in the Lord. I have set my mind on things above, and I seek the living God. May you seek the living God so that you will have peace of mind and peace of heart. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, the Apostle Paul obviously was a man of great wisdom. He understood the circumstances and situations in life, and his desire was to encourage those around him. And I believe, Father, he's encouraged us as well some 2014 years later. We love you. We desire to be following you. Father, we know we are all in process. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in knowledge of who you are. We need to know that we need to repent all the time of our disobedience. But our desire is to be pleasing in your sight. And as your word does tell us, we need to obey you. And we need to obey those who are in authority over us so that we will be pleasing to you, not being pleasing to them. Help us to do these things, and that we would not claim being naive ever again. Thank you again for this day, for this time that we have before the throne of grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.